This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, this WNBA thing, man, it's becoming a bigger story than I originally thought it would be, even when we talked about it a little bit last week. So there's critics, there's supporters of Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham and her stance on transgender participation in women's sports. They all gathered around and inside Target Center on Sunday as the Fever faced the Minnesota Lynx. The Minnesota Lynx coach, Cheryl Reeve, wore a light blue shirt under her jacket that said, "Trans kids belong," as she directed her team. The top club in the WNBA at this point. They won 108-100 over the Fever. There were other fans in the stands wearing t-shirts that read, "Trans kids belong in sports." So there's video footage of this coach talking to Sophie Cunningham, and they seemed to have a spirited conversation going on. Here is Minnesota Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeve on kind of everything surrounding that game.
Before the game, you had a conversation with Sophie Cunningham.
I did.
If you want to share what you talked about, feel free. But more of my question is just how important is it to have those like in-person conversations with people?
I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's great. You know, I think both of us understand that we, you know, we have platforms and, you know, we both talked about, you know, wanting to, more than anything, educate. And there are some things that, you know, we have in common and maybe some things you differ on, just like any issues. And I think it's how you handle things. And so, you know, it was nice to be in person for sure.
So we didn't really get the gist of the conversation, Michael, but you notice in other sports like the NFL, remember when they cracked down on everybody wearing different cleats and different colors supporting their causes? Now they allow them to wear these cleats and such. I think they have to get them approved, but Brandon Marshall got fined for wearing, was it bright green cleats?
Which is
to
dumb.
Promote mental health awareness, I believe.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Now the NFL allows you to do it, but back then, no, you can't wear a certain shoe.
I just wonder if the WNBA is going to have to start putting something. I mean, she's wearing a T-shirt. Not a fan, like a fan that was accosted a week ago. She's wearing an actual shirt under her jacket that says "Trans kids belong." Okay, this leads us down a whole different conversation of trans kids and the decision making process that goes into being a trans kid. And I don't want to get into that right now, Michael. I don't know if you do. I'm not necessarily wanting to. You want to?
Look, I fully believe that whether you're male, female, trans, non, I don't remember what that is, you deserve the same rights that men and women do. Mm-hmm. However, if your rights trample on the rights of someone else, you don't get that right.
But Michael, the other big discussion here, which is, again, why we're not really a political show, but trans kids, should there be, if you're making a transition, should you not be allowed to do that until you're 18. Just throwing that out there because that's a pretty significant change.
My argument against that would be kids are stupid and they don't know who they are.
So your argument for that they should wait until 18.
That's a tough one.
I don't know if I want to get into this.
I don't want to interject my opinion too much other than to say that kids are stupid and maybe you should, before you start giving them drugs that will forever change who they are and they can't go back, in case they decide they're not, I feel like there should be a lot more thought put into it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's neither here nor there for me. I don't want to be like, what was the fever coach that said, I'm not educated enough on the topic to tell you whether or not a trans woman should play in the WNBA. Like, I'm not educated on the topic, and I should tell you, no, they should not be able to do that. Yeah, but it seems to be a very contested conversation going on in the WNBA. This is why a lot of sports leagues try not to get extremely political. But they do still. They jump into it. I mean, we've seen teams and players have issues just recently with the gay pride stuff in Major League Baseball. I'm almost like, if I'm running a team or a professional sports organization, if I'm like the commissioner, I'm like, nothing political ever, one way or the other. I don't care. You're not kneeling. You're not promoting. We're not doing any of it. If it's deemed political, then I stay away from it.
It's got to be tough.
That's like, taking it's the easy way out, but
got to be tough to be a commissioner.
Yeah.
Because do you remember?
Everybody's got a platform.
It was like 10 years ago. Some Rams players had the "Don't shoot me" shirt on in practice, and they had their hands up.
Don't shoot.
That's
political.
I mean, it's tough to tell them, no, don't do that. But
right.
also,
but
that
you
was
could
very
also be very strict and say you can't wear anything that's not uniform when you're on our facilities. If you're in workout gear, then you should be in San Francisco 49ers, Los Angeles Rams, whatever workout gear. I mean, but then I get people that say, well, then should they not be able to promote military? Should they not have military appreciation? And I guess, Michael, is this crazy? I don't view that as political. Is supporting the military political? Is it? Why?
So
why is it political? Are there sides that don't like military? I'm asking the questions here. You don't like the military? Like, you can dislike an individual member of the military for something they may or may not have done. But is that a blanket cause? Well, we don't support the military. Really? Like, is that a political statement? Ugh. I don't know, man.
Okay, so here's an example of how nuanced this is. Like, Tommy Smith and John Carlos back in, I think it was 1968, they had their fists up in the air in support of black rights. And what is a good way to put it?
I don't know.
Which stance is something that you can put in sports in general? Because it's tough, because a lot of people have different views, religion, non-religion, politics, some social, some economic. The best thing you can do is say, sorry, guys, we can't have any of this. We can't have any of this. Because if we have one of these, we have all of them.
Yeah, and I feel like that would be my cop-out, is just to say I'm not doing anything. But again, I have a hard time when you say, well, then should they not be able to have a military month or something? I guess I don't view the military. I don't personally view the military as being something that's political, but apparently it is.
It kind of is, because war is political. So I think that you should separate members
you're
of the military.
You're supporting the
with
members of the military. I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into this, Mike. How about this? Let's play this song. Martha Reeves, Mike. Martha Reeves, who sang what? Heat Wave?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs of all time.
And she's an amazing singer, right?
Absolutely.
So she performed at the national anthem for the WPBL, the inaugural Women's Professional Baseball League event to help celebrate a historic moment for women in sports. She sang the national anthem. Is that right?
Yeah, sang in quotes.
Here's her version of the national. But keep in mind, she's
85
years old. But you couldn't find somebody who's maybe better at that. I don't know. Here's Martha Reeves, legend Martha Reeves, singing the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land.
I'll tell you, this certainly made history. This was the inaugural game Saturday, and it was the first national anthem to be sung at the Women's Professional Baseball League event.
Not the worst national anthem I've ever heard.
I wanted to shut it down and not put all the listeners through that, but I don't want to. I have a weird thing about interrupting the national anthem, so I was like, Mike, we got to keep that running. I don't want to cut off the national anthem. She's 85, Mike. So who do you put that on, her or the league, for not saying, hey, can you still sing? Because if you can, you're in. If not, maybe don't, not so much. Now, she claims the field conditions were wet and windy, and without stage monitors, I wasn't able to hear myself. You were the lucky one, as I normally would. While it wasn't the performance I had hoped for, I'm grateful to have been there in support of these remarkable athletes and this groundbreaking league. Big Hub says, what the hell did I just hear? Well, one of the legendary singers.
I got to play this song.
Yes. You know what? Let's not do her dirty like that. Let's show what she's really about. This is what she's really about. So I'm glad you did that, because we don't want to remember Martha Reeves for that version. And again, there's plenty of examples of people singing a national anthem and maybe their health's not right, but it's been a dream of theirs or something. And then the league obliges. I don't know, but I feel like this is on the league for putting that on her. I don't know anything about this new league, by the way.
I just
know
heard
that
about it.
You should vet your singers, whether they were legendary singers at one point or not, and you should say, hey, can we get you to sing a version of it to us first before we make this choice? Who's going to sing our first ever national anthem? And if the answer is, I'm Martha Reeves, I can still sing, we'd like to hear it first, though.
I have a song of hers from 11 years ago.
Okay, a little bit of it. It's not a music show, Mike. I mean, still not like great to me, but that was, maybe she's right. It was something with the audio and all that stuff she couldn't hear, but she does that real bouncy thing in her voice almost every time now. And it's not as cool as it was when she did it when she was younger, but that's unfortunate. Yeah.
My
that's
niece,
really unfortunate.
When she was 18 or so, sung the national anthem at Greeley Central High School in front of all five people in the stands. And it was amazing. But she's not 85. I have to stand up for Martha Reeves just a little bit. She's 85. Not everybody's voice at 85 sounds great.
Then don't sing. Then don't sing. Then don't sing. You're done singing. It's athletes, if you're not fast anymore, don't run. You know, if you can't football anymore, don't football. You know, I don't want to see John Elway out there throwing, trying to throw a touchdown pass. It's probably not going to go over well.
He can probably still throw a good ball. He just won't be able to move back and forth.
Yeah, and he would probably get hurt badly. So
just by running.
Just don't sing. All the greats meet their moment where it's just like you're not great like you used to be. And hats off to those that are still doing it at a high level. I know our guy Brian Gary goes to all these concerts of dudes that were famous in the 60s and now they're still going at like 99. Good on you. You're still doing it. But Martha Reeves, it seems like based on that, probably just doesn't have it anymore. And even based on the one 11 years ago, it's not very good.
Yeah, I have to say, maybe auto-tune was the right thing to do.
Well,
it sounded to me like they didn't practice at all.
It was just not good. Just really not good.
There were three singers in there. There was Martha Reeves and two women I
don't recognize. And they weren't good either. They weren't good either. Like, that was rough. That was rough.
But we still have to judge her off of Heat Wave, because that is a great song.
Well,
that is one
yeah.
of the best songs ever performed.
What about the girl? What about the Black Eyed Pea chick? Fergie, you remember how bad hers was? That kind of ruined her career, didn't it? Fergie?
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
Look up Fergie. National Anthem.
Lady Anta Bedelbledum.
I don't know.
That band, the singer screwed up the lyrics. That, to me, is more offensive than a bad
voice.
Like,
Roseanne was really bad, and she was doing it on purpose to try to rise out of people, but it was disgraceful. It was awful. But find the Fergie one. We're just playing bad music here today. Eastside Chris says, "Bray, okay, so this is on the WNBA thing. If I'm a male golfer, decent but not quite good enough for PGA, decide I want to golf and make tons of money, call myself transgender, and go clean up on LPGA. Well, yeah, that's the conversation that this invites. As extreme as it seems, one case of this, which we've had, I believe is too much. Eastside Chris, what's the new Women's Baseball League think about transgender athletes? I don't know. Not sure. John Sears texting in, that national anthem performance was better than it could have been, and it could have been a dumpster fire. It was a dumpster fire. It was.
I have her singing of the national
okay,
anthem.
Okay, so who's better, Martha Reeves or Fergie? And she's not 85 when she did this. She's still not 85.
By the dawn's early light.
Pretty rough, Mike.
What so proudly wave?
This is bad.
At the twilight's last gleaming, whose bright stripes?
Steph Curry's going, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. Can we interrupt it? Do we have to? Because we already did it. We already went through it once. So the rule is, I think, since we let it go in the last 5 minutes, we're okay.
I think they both tried. I think Fergie tried to get a little artistic with it, which is really annoying. Just
yikes.
Sing
it. Yikes. Yeah,
look,
both bad.
My
both
thoughts
bad.
On this is you sing whatever. If you're terrible, you're terrible. It's a tough one. The American National Anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, is a tough one to sing because the tune it is with is tough.
Uh-huh.
As long as you don't screw up the lyrics. Like, the lyrics, that's the important part to me.
Yeah, but you can screw up more than that. And I know we want to give her the benefit of the doubt, Martha Reeves, and I get that. But
Whitney Houston still has the best one of all time.
Yeah, we're not arguing which one's the best one of all time. Like, this is just, it's not good. And this is like the start of your league. So, anyway, 12:24 at the time. I couldn't help myself. Found it. It was... again, nothing but respect for her and what she did in her career. She's one of those pioneers in the musical industry. But she's seen better days. That's as bad as Marilyn Manson singing Happy Birthday. Marilyn Monroe, sorry, not Manson. Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to JFK.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But
John says, I think we have to give Martha a break because she's Martha.
Hers is better by default.
I'm a sports guy. And if my favorite athlete in the world is... What are you doing? If my favorite athlete in the world is suddenly just awful, then I have to say, hey, I respect your career, but you're bad now. Time to be done. Time to move on. Like Conor McGregor, he fell and hurt his knee before the fight even started. Even if you're a diehard fan of him, don't you just say, yeah, he doesn't have it like he used to.
Yeah.
And so
it is what it is.
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing for her, and there are probably multiple reasons why, but I still love and respect her voice.
Yeah, rough go. 26 minutes after. Sorry, I know we got a lot of listeners that are pissed that Michael let that thing run all the way through. That's your fault, by the way, Mike. That's a producer thing.
I was not ruling. Told to lower it, to turn it down. You were sitting there.
I am in control of what comes out of my mouth, and you are in control of the clips that we play, that I send you and tell you to play them. You're in control of those.
I am indeed.
all right, yeah. Let's remember some good Martha Reeves here. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show.
And the coach will be here to preview the upcoming season. Coach Speak, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Stupid hot still today is going to be, is not fun. It's not fun for anyone, Mike, especially for us pasty individuals. But Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure you're comfortable inside. If those air conditioners have been working so hard this last month and they have a weird sound to them, they're just not quite spitting out the cool air like they're supposed to, then you got to contact Lemons Heating and Cooling. They have free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call 970-567-0798. Later on in the show, we start our breakdown of the AFC West. We will begin with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll start with that later on in the program. And we're gonna come up with our rankings of where the West is, how the West will be won. And I already know, Michael. We already know what you're gonna say. Based on nothing other than you love the Bronkies. That's it.
I don't know what a bronchi is.
That's how I imagine you say it.
A bronco with bronchitis?
That's how I imagine you say it. Headline in the Denver Post from Luca Evans. Will Broncos quarterback Bo Nix run less in 2026 after ankle injury? He says, absolutely not. I'm going to roll, and I'm going to be as athletic as I can be. It's a strength of ours, and we have to use our strengths. For me, that's when I feel at my best, and that's when I feel free. There's no question that one of the biggest assets the Broncos had last season, Michael, was when Bo Nix took off. You know, J.K. Dobbins, I thought, before he got hurt, was the best part of their offense, but the second best part of their offense was simply Bo Nix scrambling. And it's not like he's Lamar Jackson or any one of these known... He was mobile in college. People were shocked that he was so mobile in the NFL, but if you watched a lot of Oregon football or Auburn over the years, you knew he could take off and run. But I was even shocked at just how much of a tool he was able to make it to utilize it as once the season started from his rookie year to second year.
Yeah, people are shocked about that, but he is a bona fide athlete.
I don't know why you do things the way you do them, but I hate them more than anything you could ever know. But that is something you look at. Like, his ability, it's not just being mobile. It's not just taking off and running. It's the ability to just extend plays. That's one of the kind of, I think Sean Payton said, that's like one of his superpowers that he was able to utilize. Now, obviously, the reason people are freaking out so much about the ankle is that, hey, we don't know if he's going to be the same as he was already. And because Sean Payton said things like predisposed ankle injuries, and it had us thinking he had a lot more issues with this thing than normally than first was advertised to us. But until I hear otherwise, when Bo Nix says things like, I feel great, feel normal, feel it doesn't hold me back, I'm out there playing like I normally do, and feel really good about my spot, I refuse to worry, Michael. I refuse to worry about Bo's the ankle. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. What I am worried about with Bo's game is, can you play a complete game? Can you shed that label of a fourth quarter comeback kind of dude? Another interesting story by Luca Evans. I'm all over the Luca Evans stories today. History says the 2026 Broncos will fall to earth in close games. Can Sean Payton fight the bell curve? The Denver Post collected a sample size of 30 NFL teams from the last decade with similar success of one-score games to the 25 Broncos. The following season data isn't pretty.
Happened to the Chiefs.
11 straight wins at that point for the Broncos. After a 34-26 victory over Green Bay, they had 9 straight wins in one-score games. They were finding ways to do it. You just always felt like they were going to pull it out in the end. You felt stronger about that as the year progressed. History suggests, Luca writes, it is nearly impossible for Denver to repeat last year's success, which I agree. 11-2 in the regular season in one-score games. The bell curve has come from contenders far and wide who have lived on the margins. And for his greatest trick in Denver yet, Payton will be tasked this season with besting a key concept in the world of analytic things, as he once put it.
And how long does our brand-new offensive coordinator have, our play caller have, before... You know, he gets
before
yanked.
Sean says, "Hey, I'm gonna just I got to run this thing." Yes, there
We're
will be pressure.
Two score games.
There will be pressure on. Now, I think if they're winning games, they're winning games, or if their offense is scoring, even if it's tight again, but there will be pressure on Davis Webb in this offense to quickly produce. I believe. I know as much as I've been saying, I think it was a really stand up job by Sean Payton to take a step back and say, hey, I believe that Davis Webb would be better at this stage to call plays while I manage everything else. But it's still going to be him cooking up these schemes and these plays. It's just going to be Davis Webb in control of when to run those. But I do think he will be on somewhat of a short leash until proven otherwise.
But the Broncos have one thing that they didn't have last year, which is a proven downfield threat.
Who's that? Who?
What's his name? They just picked him up in the offseason.
Okay. I thought you were talking about J.K. Dobbins. I'm like, they had him at the start of the season.
No. He's not a downfield. He's a downhill threat.
I thought you said downhill.
Sorry. Maybe I did say. I apologize. Downfield.
Yes, I do think Jalen Waddle's obviously going to make everybody better. He has hot, nasty speed. You can do a lot of things with hot, nasty speed. But there are some scary stats around this team that other teams have fallen victim to. According to NFL season data compiled by and analyzed by the Denver Post, the 25 Broncos tied with two teams, the 24 Kansas City Chiefs and the 2022 Minnesota Vikings, for the most one-score wins, 11 in any season in the last decade. The 2024 Chiefs went cratered from 15 and 2 to 6 and 11 in 25. The Vikings went from 13 and 4 to 7 and 10 in 23. That's my fear with the Broncos. The one score games, the unlikely wins, the unlikely upsets, fate will go the opposite way if your defense isn't perfect and if Bo isn't taking a step further. Because the way you really got to watch Bo is obviously when it's crunch time, the guy's going to run around and make plays happen. How do you contain that? Well, you have to contain defensively, which means you are staying home, and that is a tough thing to do when you see a quarterback scrambling. Is with more film on Bo, is he going to be easier to stop? I will be fascinated to see how he answers this. And I think the test will be, how do you follow up now that teams have crazy film on you? You are not a no-name. You are a legitimate quarterback in this league. They will be on you. They will be studying your film. Coaches know a hell of a lot more about you. Your test is, how do you respond to that? And if he passes that test, Michael, he is a tier one quarterback. But right now, he is tier two. He's a tier two quarterback. If he answers those, passes those tests, then there you go. You have an elite QB. It's going to be easier said than done, especially in those first 6 weeks.
And if you stay healthy, you've got a very talented Jalen Waddle getting double covered, allowing some of your other wide receivers to get open.
Yes, Evan Ingram should open up more for Evan Ingram. It should open up more for Cortland Sutton. I think it should open up the run game even more.
You got Jonah, my guy.
Your guy, Jonah Coleman, yeah.
Go Huskies.
Who I believe is going to be pretty good. And then I will claim him as my own, but not from what he did in college. Because I don't recognize that as a school. I don't recognize Washington as a school.
They are a legit. They're actually the biggest school.
I do not recognize them as a school.
In the West.
I just, because you love them so much, I just don't recognize them. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We have a preseason football game this week, Mike, on Thursday. You ready for that? You ready for the NFL preseason to begin?
What channel is it on?
You caught me there.
I may not be able to watch.
The Hall of Fame game is Thursday. It's on NBC. Panthers and Cardinals going at it.
Okay, well. We'll see if I get that.
Does that float your boat?
Well, I have to.
This is
get
the least meaningful. This is the most meaningless of the preseason games, which is the most meaningful ceremony the NFL has, is the Hall of Fame. But this is the game to honor that. I still think that the Hall of Fame game should be a random game in the regular season, or the first game of the regular season. Opening kickoff should be the Hall of Fame game.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
We're going to honor our greats, our legends of this game, and put them in the most meaningless preseason football game. Because now that they have three games, I guess the Panthers and Cardinals will have four games. Is that right? Is it because it's a bonus game, or do they actually have...
I think it's a bonus game.
Because it used to be somebody would have an extra preseason game if you played in the Hall of Fame game. And I don't know if that's still the case anymore.
I think it is.
Yes. They play four. Yeah. So they'll play Arizona. They play at Buffalo. Carolina plays at Buffalo, at Jacksonville, and home against Houston. So they will play four, while the rest of the teams in the league will play three. So I've always thought that, you know, you should have the biggest ceremony, the game where a night where you're honoring your greats, but they want to have a longer halftime and all that stuff too. And it's just another way. It's the NFL, man. They're king. It's just another event. Like, this is On its own, it's just a random extra preseason game. But if you tag the Hall of Fame game to it, it's another event that will get us watching, because if we're not there for the game, we will watch, because the weekend leading up to it is the ceremony, and the game itself is whatever, but the honoring of the Hall of Famers is what's so great about this.
Speaking of the national anthem, a couple segments ago, do you remember when DeMarcus Ware sung the national anthem before the Hall of Fame
game? I don't know, but we're not doing that anymore.
It wasn't very good, but he tried, and
done
that's
enough.
Important.
We've
got
done enough.
Right.
We've done enough bad national anthems for one day, Michael.
Although I'm going to sing it in the next segment.
No, I think we poisoned the listeners' ears enough today, so we can move on.
Don't give yourself more credit, Brady.
No, I think what I do is amazing. What you do is you're a person, and then we played bad national anthems back to back. That can't be good for ratings. So if one of us has to go. I hope it's you. Don't take that personally.
I'm taking it personally.
Yeah. Well, Broncos training camp updates continue to go. I'm the most interested I am as far as a position group is probably what?
Linebacker.
No, I think they're set there. I think at least the starters are set for now. You're interested in Red, wanting to see if he can move up.
I mean, that's a cool name.
Red Murdoch.
It is a cool name.
Most fumbles forced in college history.
Seventh round draft pick.
I mean, yeah, I'm secretly kind of rooting for him, but I also, how can you not like Alex Singleton with everything he went through? And then Justin Sternad came, you know, re-upped with the Broncos because he was like, hey, I wasn't going to go somewhere where I wasn't planning on being the starter. That's certainly a big one. You know what I'm interested in? I don't really believe that anyone is going to push Riley Moss. I know that was a conversation last week. Like Jahdae Barron, where he fits in this whole thing. I'm curious to see what wrinkles Riley Moss has added to his game. Because that guy's got to be under the most pressure of I mean, can we agree on this? Patrick Surtain's probably number one in the NFL at
Absolutely.
Corner. So if you're number two to that guy, that is one of the most stressful positions in all of football. It's got to be one of them. Got to be close. The number two corner to the number one shutdown corner in the league. And Riley Moss has to live with that, has to deal with that. And the officials are all over him. So that's not really a position group, but I'm really curious to see how Riley Moss does. Also, a name I don't think we're talking about enough is Nick Benito, the follow-up year. You know, what does he do after, I mean, a phenomenal season last year, getting his contract done and everything. He had 14 sacks last year, 13 and a half the year before that. Is he going to hit some kind of a wall? Or does he follow up and just, because I think he has potential to be like a DPOY defensive player of the year. So I'm curious to see what he looks like this upcoming season. 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number two. We got the clip of the day coming up, presented by FMS Bank. Also, a closer look at the former reigning AFC West champs, no longer the Kansas City Chiefs. Will their fall continue this upcoming season? Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, this will be an interesting one to follow. Sean Payton, I just found this clip. Says he'll still have a call sheet on the sidelines. He was asked if he'll be in Davis Webb's ear sometimes suggesting plays. He said, some suggestions. Then he paused and said, some mandates. That'll be a fun one to follow this year, Michael. My goodness, this is setting up to be a very interesting regular season for the Broncos. Clip of the day coming up next, and then a deep dive into all things Kansas City Chiefs. You got to know your opponent, Mike. You got to know your opponent to beat your opponent. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.